All right. And all right, Reverend, why don't you introduce yourself for the people out there that don't know? You have been on the show before, and so the people that listen to this show may know who you are, but we may have some new listeners that don't.
All right. Well, I'm Reverend Robert. My name's Bobby Reynolds. Reverend is just an old nickname that I've never been able to get rid of. And
it fits.
And I grew up just down the road in Mattoon, Illinois, and I've lived in Charleston for a long time now. And I travel and tour a lot, almost always playing solo shows, doing a lot of Delta blues and some early jazz and some Caribbean and things like that. And today I know we're talking a little bit about Rumba Bums, the group I've been playing with the last few years on and off. And about the time we got going was when the pandemic hit, so we didn't play for a while. But we're starting to get some more gigs again. And it's just a little different, style. I actually, Jay Ferguson plays drums, and a lot of people in this area know him. He's been a jazz drummer around here for a long time. And J.B. Ferris went to school here at U of I, got his doctorate in jazz. He plays the bass. Used to always play the stand-up. He's been bringing the little uke bass lately.
Yeah, that's an interesting instrument.
The first time he showed up with it, I thought, oh, no. But it sounds amazing, easier for him to carry.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure is easier to carry around than a stand-up bass.
Yes, ukulele bass. Time I ever saw one was when he was playing it. So.
Yeah, and it sounds amazing. Yeah. And so a little bit of story with that was I've known them for a long time, and especially with JB, I've done fill-in gigs, sometimes both of us just sitting in with the same band, things like that. And then several years back, he put together a show that we did at a couple colleges called Evolution of the Blues. And we started off with me doing some early, very early Delta blues, and then we would progress toward where they would come out and we would do some Chicago blues, some jump blues, and we'd go all the way up into doing like some John Coltrane and things like that. And so it was just this timeline of the blues, and we had so much fun doing that. We're like, all right, we have to do something together. And I always do in the solo show, I really was leaning into a lot of the Caribbean stuff and doing different rhythms. And I thought some of that, I think, is lost by not having the rhythm section, to really emphasize some of that stuff. And so I asked them about, if they'd be interested in doing that at all. And they jumped at it, and we started putting tunes together. And one of the funniest things about it was, I was like, well, and when we do some blues, I'd like to take the blues but get away from doing the typical rhythms, maybe go back to some of the kind of rhythms that would have came from the African side of blues and things like that. And once we started doing some blues and adding those rhythms in, I was like, oh yeah, like New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes New Orleans blues unique, mm-hmm. is a lot of those rhythms. So we still do some straight up, Delta blues, a few Chicago tunes, but we really lean into the Caribbean and the New Orleans stuff and just the different rhythms. And it's just a ball, and they're such great musicians. It's whatever I say, I want to do this old Calypso tune, like they actually know, what rhythms to put underneath that and make it sound authentic.
And I'll vouch for that. They really do. I mean, the collaboration between the three of you is amazing, I think. So why don't you give us a tune here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Rumba Bums.
All right. Well, I'm going to do one.
If you're warmed up and ready to go.
Well, see, these guitars are a little cold.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to do one. Again, I know you're doing a blues show, but I'm here for the Rumba Bums, so I'm going to throw in a couple of Caribbean things here.
We do mixed genre on
this. All right,
show,
oh, well, so good, okay.
We throw everything at our listeners. So
all right, good.
They never
good.
Know what to expect.
Good. Well, I'll have some blues somewhere in here too. But I always say, you know, I do a lot of this Caribbean stuff, and I'll play at a lot of blues festivals, especially in the South. And I used to always worry about the crowd not wanting to hear, you know, any calypsos or reggae or anything. And but I found that if you're using a bottleneck on a national, you can kind of get away with any of it, and they're okay with it. So I'm going to do, this is an old reggae tune by a band called The Slickers. And they recorded this. I think they originally recorded it for a movie soundtrack, The Harder They Come, that featured Jimmy Cliff and a bunch of them. And this song was originally on that soundtrack, I believe. That's the first version of it I've heard. And since I've been playing this, I've heard 100 versions of this, everything from recently, somebody turned me onto a Steve Earle version of this. Yeah, it's great.
Well, this is the, You and the Rumba Bums was the first time I had ever heard this song, and it is now my favorite reggae song.
So, oh, well,
very
right.
Cool song.
Good. Yeah. This is called Johnny Too Bad. Walking down the street with a pistol in your hand, Johnny, too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Walking down the road with a pistol in your hand, Johnny, too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting and you're too bad. Robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting and you're too bad. One of these days, when you hear the voice say come, who you gonna run to? Whoa, whoa, whoa. One of these days, when you hear the voice say come, who you gonna run to? For rescue, but there will be no ride. You're gonna run to the rock for rescue, but there will be no ride. Walking down the road with a pistol in your hand, Johnny, too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Walking down the road with a pistol in your hand, Johnny, too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting and you're too bad. Robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting and you're too bad. One of these days, when you hear the voice say come, who you gonna run to? Whoa, whoa, whoa. One of these days, when you hear the voice say come, who you gonna run to? For rescue, but there will be no ride. You're gonna run to the rock for rescue, but there will be no ride.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Love that song. And I really like your style, too. That slide is just so sweet, I think. and remind us about you entered a contest, a slide guitar contest or something.
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
What year was that? I think 2004. A long time ago, I was going to play some gigs like in Augusta, Georgia, in that area, and they had the National Slide Guitar Festival, which was originally sponsored by the National Guitar Company, and then they dropped their sponsorship of it, and they kept doing it just as National, not the brand name, you know. And so I wanted to go there, and it ended up being a really, really, like, one of the best days ever, because to enter the contest, you had to send a recording yourself. And at the time, I just had like a little 5-song demo, you know, homemade CD, and I sent one. And they contacted me, and they said, well, if you play at the show, you can't enter the contest, but we've got a slot open, and we'd actually like to just give you a set, you know, at the venue or at the festival. So I was like, yeah, I would always rather have the gig. And I'd never done any kind of contest or anything anyway. I just thought it'd be great to go to that festival and do that. So I get out there, and they said, you know, you can go ahead and do the contest too if you want. I don't think anybody will mind. And so I played my set early in the day, and then we did the contest, and I won. And a lot of people, you know, they were just doing some instrumental, like some really great players doing a lot of licks and stuff. And I did a Blind Willie Johnson song, and I did Buck His Jitterbug Swings. I just did a couple songs, and but ones that have a lot of slide playing in them. And so I won the contest, and part of winning that was then you got a set on the prime time stage, you know, right before the headliner. And so, yeah, I ended up playing on stage 3 times, and I think I sold all the CDs I had and won the contest, and it's all been downhill from there. That was the best day of my career.
Yeah, that is a good day. Wow. That's all right, well, let's go back to the Rumba Bums for a second. You got J.B. Ferris on bass, and you said he got a Ph.D. in jazz here from the university.
Yes.
And he's just like a master on the bass, or really a stand-up bass all the way to the rinky-dinky little small ukulele bass.
Yes.
And then Jay Ferguson is on drums and percussion.
Yeah, and I think he got a, I can't remember if it was bachelor's or master's here years ago as a drummer. Mm-hmm. But then he went to law school, and he was the smart one, I think. So he decided to go to law school. So he still plays as much as he can, and he just a great musician. Playing with him, I mean, the interesting thing about that was I always, with what I'm doing, usually, if anybody's seen me solo, I usually have a stomp box for like a kick drum, and I got a shaker in the other foot, and I do a lot of, you know, foot percussion while I'm playing. And so a big part of my show is trying to do rhythmic things. And so I've worked really hard on that and good timing and things like that. And then playing with Jay has improved that a bunch. Mm-hmm. He's made me pay attention to things I hadn't paid attention to, especially when we recorded together, listening back on things and just really subtle things that I hadn't paid attention to. So it's been great, you know, working with both of them, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's.
Well, what impressed me in particular about Jay is the different rhythms and stuff he puts down, like maybe in between your solos or something, he just paints these rhythms on the music, and it's just I mean it is artistry. I think the way he plays the drums is amazing to me.
Yeah
And he just holds everybody together, and boy, the product is just spectacular, I think.
Well, that's the great thing about both of them, is they're both really versatile players, even though they both have a lot of jazz background. You know, they both play in, you know, rock bands and then the Rumba Bums, which, you know, I'm not even sure what to call it exactly, but it's, you know, I mean, it's a different style too, that, you know, I played with some great drummers, but if I said, oh, we're going to do this calypso, they wouldn't really have much idea what I meant, you know, and but yeah, they're both familiar with all those styles and they play really well. And just, so it's just, yeah, it makes it easy. Makes it easy for me. I can just come in with a song I've worked on and say, you know, what can we do interesting with this, you know, that wouldn't be typical. And, you know, or I can even say, like, I had this idea for this kind of thing, and it just, it's easy to communicate, you know.
That's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So what's coming next? What are we going to hear?
Whoa, I don't know. Let's, how about...
Okay, so this guitar, the Rev has two guitars here, and they're in different tunings. Is this one standard tuning, or is this open something or other?
This one's in open G right now. Okay. And I use a few different open tunings, and it's a what they call a tricone. This is the original National design. It's got three small cones in here, and it has a little more sustain, a little sweeter sound, and I think it's just great for the slide stuff. Mm. And I keep it in the open tunings. And then the other one I got here, I'm going to play on this next one, is what they call the Style O. It's got one big cone. Doesn't have quite as much sustain, so I like it for, like, you know, some of the strumming and the finger picking stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to do my whole show all night on just it, on this Style O, but I was retuning all the time, and nobody's very entertained by that. So I just started using both guitars, and the nice thing is I just mic them, and they're both so comparable. They're both comparable as far as like volume and stuff, and the tone's similar enough that once I get it mic'd and set, you know, I can go through. I've got both of these and the ukulele, a National ukulele. I've got a square neck that I bring out occasionally. I haven't for a long time, and they're all basically the same volume. So, you know, as long as I just aim the mic in the right place, I can switch around and don't have to worry too much about changing anything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to switch to the standard tuning guitar then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this one, I'll do a calypso. And this is one that we recorded on the Rumba Bum CD. This is an old song from Trinidad by a guy named Wilmuth Houdini. And a lot of what we do is either old calypsos or what's called mento music, and I'll do a mento song too. And they're similar in like the rhythms and a lot of the style. But I think the big difference was that when you're just listening, is that a lot of the calypsos, even though these guys were from Trinidad, they recorded in New York and that area, and they had a lot of like New Orleans musicians and stuff playing with them. So there's still a lot of that instrumentation, even though there's a different rhythm. A lot of the mento stuff was just even the songs could be very similar, but the lineup, they would have a rumba box, which is like, they made them out of fish crates with metal tongs on them. And it was the bass instrument, you know, basically it would just hit those metal tongs and that would be a bass sound. And there might be a guitar, a tenor banjo was real common, a bamboo saxophone, which sounds similar to a clarinet, kind of between a, I don't know how to describe it. I've got one at home, and it's like a bamboo flute with holes in it, but it's got a reed on it, like a saxophone. Mm. And I have a hard time getting a sound out of it, and I'm not a reed player at all. I have a hard time getting a sound out of it, so I thought it was the instrument, but it's not. A friend of mine who's a sax player had no problem making it sound great. So it's me. It's not the instrument. But
well, stick to guitars.
Yeah. So there's just a difference in that sound. Anyway, now I'm rambling about the music, but I'm going to do an old calypso here. This is one by Wilmuth Houdini. And a lot of these, when I'm looking for ones to do, I've got to try and arrange them for solo. I mean, originally, that's the way I was learning all these, even though I do them with the Rumba Bums now. I was learning all these for a solo context, so I had to change the way I did some of it. And also, just lyrically, you know, some of them are very either geographical or personal, and then I don't want to sing those lyrics. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel weird for me to sing them. So I'm always looking for the ones that are more timeless, which mm-hmm. usually means they're just love songs or about sex or, you know, just something that doesn't change.
Yeah, those are everlasting,
yes,
aren't they?
Yeah.
Begin to sing, some of them begin to dance and swing, some of them throw themselves on the floor, crying, Uncle Joe, give me more, give me more. Hey, Uncle Joe, hey, Uncle Joe, give me more, give me more, give me more, play that thing like you done before. A fellow and his girlfriend come in that night, he and Uncle Joe nearly fight. Cause when he asked his lover come go, said no, I'm waiting for my Uncle Joe. Hey, Uncle Joe, hey, Uncle Joe, give me more, give me more, give me more, play that thing like you done before. Uncle Joe said, I'm getting vexed, coming here I truly regret. I see the younger shake up that thing, causing me to break up all of my strength. Hey, Uncle Joe, hey, Uncle Joe, give me more, give me more, give me more, play that thing like you done before. Hey, Uncle Joe, hey, Uncle Joe, give me more, give me more, give me more, play that thing like you done before.
You know, I'm curious, where did you learn about this music?
A lot of it was there was an old record label, I'm not sure if they do anything anymore, Rounder Records.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, they used to compile stuff mm-hmm. and they had some compilations mm. of you know, a lot of old calypso and Hawaiian and yeah. And they had three or four different compilations of old calypso things that I, you know, I came across one of them, and then I had to order them all. And mm-hmm. and you know, of course, now you can just go online and find an incredible amount yeah. of stuff. But so just curiosity, mm-hmm. And it just I used to get a question a lot that I never knew how to answer, and I think I finally figured out. It's like, what is it about? Because it's not just old blues. I found that like everything from that era, what they'd call, you know, pre-war, basically before electric instruments, for the most part, I think, is kind of that era. You know, everything I heard from that era, you know, I would like, or I'd find a lot that I liked, and I always wondered why that was, and part of it is I just like acoustic instruments and the tones and the textures, you know, the way they go together. But I finally figured out it's like that was when things were acoustic, but it was dance music. Mm. You know, it was all about the rhythm, you know. Right. So when you hear old Delta blues, like I always remember, I think what turned into like a folk thing and a singer-songwriter thing, sometimes I think like old Delta blues really has more in common with Snoop Dogg than it does the singer-songwriter thing. You know, they would, a guy like Charlie Patton, you know, who's my favorite old blues player, I mean, he would have all kinds of stock verses that he could put into a song, and he would, you know, they say sometimes he'd just stop playing it as a guitar and just play it as a drum, and once he had people dancing, he would go, you know, he might do the same song for 20 or 30 minutes and just keep everybody dancing. That was his job, and that's what he wanted to do. And I always think that's a lot different thing than what the folk music and the singer-songwriter thing turned into. Yeah, it's just two different things. But now it gets associated more with that. It's become sit and listen to music.
Yeah.
And that was another reason that I wanted to do the Rumba Bums, because I thought a lot of places I'll travel to playing the solo show, I will get people that'll dance a bit, but it's kind of rare. It is, even that old Delta stuff, it's become sit and listen to music, you know. And I thought, well, putting a rhythm section underneath it, you know, maybe that'll help. Truth is, we still don't get a lot of dancers, but it's still really good sit and listen to music, you know, and I'm all right with that.
But. Yeah, well, good, because I'm no dancer, but I love to sit and listen to it.
Yeah.
All right, well, you want to play another song?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I'll do one. This is, I was talking about Minto music, and and again, Just listen to it and the rhythms and everything. It's got a lot of similarities to calypso. Minto is a broad term. It was just really a term they used for Jamaican folk music.
You know? It originated in Jamaica?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just what they called it, but they borrowed a lot from, you know, calypsos and things. And that was really before the next, you know, big thing like ska, you know, but you can still hear a lot of that sound in it, where it came from. So they had ska and rock steady and reggae and all that came later, but so this one's called Perseverance. And this one, unfortunately, it's escaping me who originally recorded this, but there are a few different versions of it. And there's a newer group called the Jolly Boys. Well, they've been around forever, constantly changed members, but they're still putting out records. They do the Minto thing. They even had an album where they did a bunch of like rock and pop hits, but Minto style. It's just a really great album, and one that I'll play for people who haven't heard Minto, that, you know, so they have something they're familiar with and they really like it. And they did a version of this that's quite a bit different. It's almost all instrumental, really, but I stole a couple things they did and a couple things from the original and some stuff of my own. And
conquer, boy, hold on, you digger. You said we aren't going to leave our ground beneath us is rocky. Perseverance, we make it easy. Dig, dig, water, boy. Don't stop till you reach the water. Dig, dig, water, boy. Perseverance will make you conquer. We have reassurance. All we need now is the endurance. Let's toil to a finish. It is hard, but we will accomplish. Dig, dig, water, boy. Don't stop till you reach the water. Dig, dig, water, boy. Perseverance will make you conquer. Patient, reach the water in just a moment. Keep working, my brother. I see a sign, yes, we've reached the water. Dig, dig, water, boy. Don't stop till you reach the water. Dig, dig a water bud. Perseverance will make you conquer. Don't stop trying. 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 Don't stop trying.
So I have to ask you, how often these guitars, you can't see them over the air, but these are, I don't know, is it stainless steel?
They're brass and then nickel plated.
Oh, okay.
That's why people need to come to Weft Fest on Sunday to see them. Yeah. How often here.
How often do you have to polish them?
Oh, not often enough. Okay. I should, you know, after every time I play them, but I've gotten bad about it, but I'll try to wipe them down. And then, every time I change the strings, which is usually every couple of weeks with these, I change them pretty often with these.
Yeah.
Then I'll clean them up a little bit. I used to turtle wax them. That helped. Really? Yeah. But now I've gotten lazy about it.
And there's like a picture, like a sublimated looking picture or something on there.
You can really see on the back.
Oh yeah.
It's a Hawaiian scene.
Very cool.
That they would use. They would they do some sandblasting or acid etching. Mm. Or, you know, it's I went out to the factory.
Which is where?
In San Luis Obispo, where they started remaking these. Mm. They were originally made out in California. And then about the mid-90s, they started remaking them. They opened up. And the factory is just a couple garage bays, you know, but it's great. And then, you know, when I was at the end of visiting with them and they showed me around and everything, I went where all the guitars were getting ready to get shipped out and I could just sit and play all of them. Oh. And so I have a baritone tricone that I love and I've recorded with, and I just don't play enough songs on it that I always bring it out. You know, it's just another thing to carry. But I played one there and I just fell in love with it and I just thought, man, I really want one of those. And they're like, well, we can set you up with a dealer, but it was still, it was way too much.
Yeah, these things ain't cheap, are they?
Yeah, and, but I immediately, when I left the factory, I got on the phone and I found a used one and online for about half price, which was crazy because usually they don't lose much value at all. Right. And I still couldn't afford it, but I called home to my bank and I said, hey, do you think there's any chance I can get a loan for a guitar? I've never done that before. And he said, sure. And so I said, all right, I'm flying home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And when I get home, I want to do this. So I've got that baritone, and it's the only one I have that's a steel body instead of the brass. Hmm. And normally I prefer the brass, but with that deep sound, the steel just sounded, it cuts through a little better. It sounds really good. So. Okay.
Well, I wanted to know a little bit about your history with performance and the guitar specifically. How old were you when you knew you wanted to do this, and what, you know, steps did you take?
Yeah, you know, I have I guess my backstory for all that's always surprises people because of what I do now, but I actually had me and a couple of friends, I think we were on the freshman football team, and we were real into music, but honestly, it was a lot of punk. You know, we loved, you know, the Ramones and Sex Pistols and Misfits and like that. That was the stuff we loved. And so one of them's brother had a drum set. The other one wanted to be a bass player, and I wanted to play guitar. And so we just, within the next few months, we ended up with instruments and we started playing. So it would have been my freshman year of high school.
So did you take lessons or you just figure it out on your own?
No, I just, I just tried to figure it out on my own. And I always say I had no musicians in my family or anything. I definitely had no, natural talent, but except for one, I always say I just had patience. You know, I had no problem, sitting in my room for hours at a time and playing stuff. And I think that was my only musical gift. but
it worked out.
And it still works. And one of the advantages I have to most of the time playing solo is I always tell on myself. I like to think that I do everything in a really efficient way, but I don't. I set my stuff up usually in front of the TV and put a baseball game on. And I always say opening day of baseball, I'll get 12 hours of practice in. the advantage is everything I practice, I can practice it exactly how I'm going to go out and play it, you know, and I don't have to get together with other guys or anything like that. Like I can practice it exactly how I want to play it. And so that's good. So even that time doing that is it works out.
Mm-hmm. Now I understand that you do play in a rock band as well. Is that,
I think used to, right?
Is well, that... we've got a couple gigs left. It's a dance band. We have a horn section. We do a lot of old funk and soul and a little bit of reggae and even some old school hip hop stuff. My bass player is really good at rapping some of that stuff, and it's called Super Bad. And yeah, we just have a couple gigs left. Everybody in that band's busy with things, and we've been doing it about 12 years, and feel like it's kind of maybe running its course a little bit. And then I've run into some times where, you know, I can hit the road and play some gigs somewhere, and I can't because I got that one Super Bad gig, you know, on a Saturday right in the middle of it. And so I'm really going to miss it. And they're all great musicians and great guys. And, I'm going to miss that. Even when we're getting a little burnt out, I was like, we should start a bowling team or something. So we can go out once a week and hang out. And
So you say two gigs left, and where might these be?
Yeah, we have one is this Saturday night at Jackpot Joe's in Mattoon.
Okay.
And then October 15th is our last one, and it's a place called the Muddy Saloon that's down near Newton, Illinois.
Okay.
So it's quite a ways from here, but those will be the last two, and then we have a wedding in there that we're doing.
I guess
in between. So.
Can I crash that? You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you might have to carry some equipment.
Okay. Well, I could do that. Yeah. Yeah. How many members in Superbad?
We've been doing it with five. We had six. We had a trumpet, trombone, and saxophone. The trombonist he kind of retired about a year ago. Hmm. And we just decided to do it with the five. So we have guitar, bass, and drums, and then the trumpet and the saxophone. And then there's, the sax player is really, really good on the keyboard, too. So there's a few tunes. If there's no horns, he plays keys on. And actually, we most of the time have the same sound guy, and he gets up and does keyboards on some songs with us and if he's there. And so, yeah, we're really that's one thing about it. We cover a lot with five guys, so it's been, it's a fun band. I'm going to miss it, but.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go back to the solo stuff here.
All right.
And you want to give us another tune?
Yeah. You know what? Let me do one that.
We're getting the slide back out.
Yeah, I'll do one. This is the title track on the Rumba Bums album. This is one that I wrote. That kind of mixes the blues and reggae, reggae rhythm that I like and stuff. So this one's called Firelight. And some of these, it's really weird for me. I've never played them without any rhythm section, even my feet. So. They feel a little weird without that beat underneath. So.
Home. I can't wait to see my baby girl.
know my baby's home. Firelight, burning through the night. Keep your fire burning, baby. Help me find my way, all right. See my face, mine's do the same. We gonna lay by that warm firelight. She sure be glad I came. Firelight, firelight, burning through the night. Keep your fire burning, baby. Help me find my way, all right. Firelight, firelight, burning through the night. Firelight, burning through the night. Keep your fire burning, baby. Help me find my way, all right. Keep your fire burning, baby. Help me find my way, all right. Keep your fire burning, baby. Help me find my way, all right.
Okay.
And you've probably never been asked this question before. I'm curious as to the music system, the music system you listen to at home. What is it? Your stereo or whatever it is?
You know, I was just laughing about this yesterday with a just quick story. So there was this guy yesterday. I was at a funeral, and this guy, he was. When I was a kid, when I started off playing, he would always help us out so much. Whatever PA we needed, anything, he'd always loan us. You know, when I had gigs early on, he'd always, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. But we got to talking about it because I had brought a speaker for the funeral and for a song to be played. And it's just a little JBL, like you get at Walmart, you know. And he was really impressed with it. So he was talking about it afterwards. And I said, you know, and you probably, I told him, I said, you probably know this as well as I do. You can have $10,000 worth of PA as a musician. And then you have some little junk stereo at home. And so it's the same thing. I have that JBL and I use my phone. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, that's what I use in the car. It's what I use at home. It's what I use for everything. And I always, and it's terrible. And now I do have a couple old 78 players. I used to collect 78s when I got into all this music, and I had to quit because I spent too much money. But I would do online auctions, and I have two record players at home, but they won't play anything. They're both old mono 78 players. I can't play even any LPs on them. But so I do have those. But yeah, I have all kinds of PA stashed everywhere in the garage, the basement, everywhere. And yeah, my home stereo is my phone and a little JBL speaker.
Well, that fits my theory then.
Yes.
And the theory goes something like this, that musicians typically don't have very good, you know, stereos, for lack of a better word, at home. And non-musicians tend to have better ones. And I think the reason is as a musician, you can hear the music, and me as a non-musician, I can't hear it like you can hear it. So I need perhaps a better, you know, a higher quality system so that I can hear it.
Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of that. I mean, I did.
Musicians hear it in their head, and I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
See.
Well, I did, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, I did invest in the nicest pair of headphones I spent way more than I ever thought I would spend on a pair of headphones. And I do have to admit, I mean, I hear things, even listening to old recordings of you know, Charlie Patton and some of these old guys that I've spent a lot of time listening to and trying to figure out what they're doing. I've heard things in there that I never noticed before. And so, I mean, it was money well spent for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think you're kind of right, but still, it's still nice to hear, you know, like I'll get, it's just a weird thing. I've noticed sometimes a song I've heard forever, I'll be riding in somebody's car and it comes on and I'll hear something I never quite noticed. And I was just the way it's separated in that car or the quality of the, you know, sometimes it could be lack of quality even. Like maybe there's, like I'll hear something on my phone where I don't hear any of the bottom end. Well, then something in the high end that I never noticed is there.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there is something to it, though. I know very few musicians who have a really good quality stereo.
Yeah.
Maybe because they can't afford it, right?
Yeah. Well, they got to put that money into the PA. I always say if I just sent my PA up at home, I'd have a great stereo. Yeah,
maybe that's a factor I hadn't considered.
Well, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, so maybe a couple...
Okay.
More songs?
Well, how about I'm doing a lot of this rumba bum stuff. How about throwing a blues here?
Sure.
We're good with
and we
blues.
We do play some blues. It was funny when we first started playing some gigs and doing that, I was like, I personally wanted to steer away from doing as much of the blues that I do in my other shows and stuff. And but again, those guys are so good. Like if we just do a shuffle, it's just got such a great feel to it. And people enjoy it, and I'm like, yeah, maybe, you know, if we're doing a couple shuffles a night, then it's unique when we pull that rhythm out, you know, instead of doing a bunch in a row, which I still enjoy doing. Mm. And I'll be playing down in Mississippi, and I can play shuffle after shuffle, and people will dance to them. But, you know, it just depends on where you're at and what the crowd's into. So we've ended up keeping more blues in the set list than I had originally thought we would. One is because it just sounds fresh with those guys underneath it. So songs I've played for a long time and wanted to get away from for that group, I'm like, oh no, that sounds really good. Yeah, we got to keep that. And so yeah, we still, if you want to hear some blues, still come out because it's very bluesy and I do a lot of bottleneck playing. And so, you know, I'm going to do a Charlie Patton song. Again, Charlie Patton's probably my favorite, and the recording quality's not great on his old recordings, and between that and just his playing, it's always hard to figure out what he's doing. So,
remind us when he was active.
His first recording, which is Pony Blues, I think that was the first one, and then whatever was on the B-side, I think it might have been Bandy Rooster, but those were... In 26 or 27, I used to know exact dates for that stuff. But, yeah, and what's interesting about him is he was older. I mean, he wasn't an old man at all, but, I mean, he was older when he recorded those then. And so, I mean, he'd been playing those songs for a long time before he recorded them in the 20s. So everybody thinks, like, you can really tell what the earliest Delta blues sounded like, you know. But it's hard telling because it, you know, it existed – you know, before recordings. And so, you know, whoever he learned some of that from, you know, there's a lot of guys around Dockery's, the plantation where he was at. If you're ever down in Mississippi, go visit Dockery's. There's not a whole bunch left there, but it's still really, really interesting to go see because that's sort of the birthplace, you know, a little bit of the Delta blues, you know, which was really responsible for the Chicago blues and rock and roll and like, Charlie Patton and you can't say it all started in one place, but there's just a lot of history in that one little place right there. So yeah, he recorded, like I said, I think 1926 or 27. This one was recorded a little bit later in the 30s. He did a bunch of songs in this style. And again, I just look for ones that lyrically I like, and then sometimes I can't tell what he's singing, so I'll take lyrics from other songs he did and just, you know, and make up some of my own or whatever. So this one's called Love My Stuff. Well, I love my stuff, baby, love to get high. Shoot me now.
Lord, it just won't stop. Well, you know I like it hot, baby. Sure don't like it cold. Well, you know I like it hot, baby. Sure don't like it cold. My rider's got some way to shoot me now. Just won't stop. I can tell my rider now, baby, won't you please shoot me down? I can tell my rider now, baby, won't you please shoot me down?
Song.
Yeah, one thing that really amazes me about you is that every song, you know, you can listen to performers whose stuff always kind of sounds the same, has the same structure over and over and over again. They're good, but, you know, it's very recognizable. With you, everything is very unique and you do something different with every song that you play, which I find incredible.
Ah, thank you. Well, I mean, it's a... Part of that is just liking a big variety of stuff and then trying to put it all in one style. I mean, a lot of my favorite, like modern, more modern musicians, I mean, they all did that. You know, like Ry Cooder and Taj Mahal and Dr. John and like, you know, they would all grab from a whole bunch of different places and kind of put it in their own style. And so, you know, and also like playing, you know, sometimes I'm doing a 3 or 4 hour solo show. It's really hard to have variety when you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm always trying to think of ways to do that, you know, whether it's just like, I never use a set list. I used to try and I just, by the second song, I'd already go, no, I don't want to do that one right now. And so I would, like the only thing I kind of go by is a lot of times just the rhythm, you know, like, oh, you know, I did a shuffle and like right now something that, you know, more straight beat, like what I call a good foot stomping tune. Like, oh, that'd sound good right now. Or, oh, here'd be a good spot to do a slower one. Or, you know, or here's a good spot to do one of those calypsos that'd be sound really different than. So that's kind of the, you know, the only drawback to that and not having a set list is sometimes while I'm playing a song, I'm thinking about those things in my head instead of focusing on what I'm doing. But,
that raises a question for me. What do you listen to? Like, what did you listen to yesterday or this morning? Or
I've been on a kick for I don't know for a while of really nothing but jazz stuff and I've always loved early jazz and loved like everything from the New Orleans stuff through swing but I've been just really obsessed with. You know, Miles Davis and
Are we, you know, we some talking John
Coltrane.
About, yeah, like yeah. kind of blue stuff, or are we talking the later, really kind of weird kind of Miles Davis?
No, really a lot of the, you know, a lot of, like the Prestige recordings where he had Coltrane in the band, mm-hmm. but it was before kind of blue. Mm-hmm. And I've just been really, when Miles was kind of developing that style, and honestly, because I think, been trying to learn some of that stuff on slide guitar, and he's playing slow enough on some of that and lyrically enough that it works, you know, and so it's been it's been great. And then the Coltrane stuff, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I would get introduced to these guys by like some of the very later Coltrane, which I mean, I respect the avant-garde stuff, but I was like, I just, you know, I'm trying to listen to this, and honestly a minute or two in I'm lost. Yeah, I mean, I'm not. And so I'd never, and then I heard the stuff he did with Miles. Well, then I think I just about a year ago, like probably the most played song album on my Spotify in the last year has been Crescent, mm-hmm. an album by him. And it's just, I'm just in love with it. It's just this period, you know, that and Love Supreme that I just, mm-hmm. I've been really fascinated with. And there's not a lot of, I'll do with that musically, because especially playing slide guitar on Nationals, you know. But just the whole feel of it, and just yeah. So, but on top of that, just still always on the way here, I was listening to Bucca White. Mm-hmm. You know, I still love the old Delta blues, and mm-hmm. love a lot of different kinds of, for lack of a better term, the world music stuff. You know. Sure.
So if you want to hear Reverend Robert play again, you're going to have to come on Sunday, because we are out of time and ready to go to jazz.
Yes. Well, and you need to hear the Rumba Bumps.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Sure.